Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And if you have your cell phones and fax machines and scanners, please put them on the off or silent position. Amen? Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, The Book of Life. The Book of Life. And as I was meditating on the Lord and reminiscing and just pondering the episode 8 that I saw in the house of David, and God started downloading in me right there as I was seated at my seat preparing this week, and he was speaking to me. And one of the things that came to mind is the church, the born-again believers, what God has done for you and me, and what he has done eternally. Can I get an amen? Amen. How many believe that God has done something eternally with us? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he has. And we're going to see in Scripture what that is. And so, if you're there at Philippians 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 7, and we're going to allow the Holy Ghost to have his way. Amen? And so, here we go. In verse 1, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche, to be the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. What? Jesus. Let me just say this. We're going to read verse 4 right now. But if they're mentioned in the book of life, turn to your neighbor and say, you are also mentioned. Because the Bible says that when every soul repents, the heavens rejoice. And there's a party going on in heaven when a soul gives their heart to Christ. Did you know that? From the bow of heaven, your name is echoed. Hallelujah. And guess what? Your name is written in the book of life. There's a book up there called the book of life. We're going to see more of this. Look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be what? Made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Where's that music coming from? No. The TV? No. Well, I'll go back there. Excuse me. Oops. Echo, stop. Somebody activated Echo. That was King David. My goodness. Always distractions. No. It was our little echo back there. I said a trigger word and it started. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so look, and let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds to who? Through Christ. So, in order to be written in the book of life, there is a process. There are steps that a person must comply to, adhere to, receive and accept. And it's the only way God is going to write your names in the book of life. You just don't come to Him and say, I want to be written in the book. No. It's very clear. Let's deal with this issue. You must be born again. You must be born again. There's a lot of religious folks. There's a lot of religious organizations. But have they been born again? Have they truly repented of their sins and been filled with the Spirit of God? Well, we need to go to the Scripture and see what Jesus told a religious leader named Nicodemus. We call him Nick at Night because he snuck out at night to speak to him, right? Nicodemus wanted to know, man, look at all these miracles. Look at all these. He's raising the dead. He's allowing the blind to see. He's giving the mute to speak. He goes, I got to inquire about this man. So he snuck out at night. That's why I call him Nick at Night. Look at this. The story picks up in John chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Look at that. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by when? By night. And said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Wow. So look, before we move on, let me just say this. Before Jesus answers, he could have just had a cup of tea with them. And he could have just, yeah, you know, let's go back to the beginning. No, Jesus cut through the chase. He went to the heart of the matter. He had to tell this religious leader who knew the scriptures, who still couldn't believe that the one that they prophesied would come, he's standing right before them, and yet these religious leaders could not believe that Jesus was the prophesied one to come. So Jesus cut right through the chase. Look what he says in verse 3. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What? So look, here's what the religious leader said. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? So now he's thinking in the natural sense. Look at what he says. He says, can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? He thought that someone had to crawl up their mother's womb and come out again. This is how insidious, this is how I'm going to say, dumb these religious leaders were. Oh my gosh. We all know that's impossible, right? So Jesus answered it, he said it like this. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We've been born through the flesh, one time through our mother's womb. And that which is born of the Spirit, notice capital S, is Spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be what? Born again. So, what has to take place? We see that you have to be born again. But what comes first before you can be born again? Oh, you read my notes. Repentance leads to confession. You see, when you come to God and say, oh God, I need you now. I can't do this no more. I know so many people right now who are still drug infested, sin laden, relationships all gone through four or five marriages. like G would say, toe up from the flow up. And yet, all they have to do to get their life right is repent before a holy God. And God will restore them. God will help them. God will do something that we cannot do. So there has to be a conviction first. And, you know, we all read Acts 2:38-39. It's kind of our scripture banner of our church. We get that. Many of us in here were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We get that. But scriptures before that, there had to have been a conviction. And when Peter came from the upper room, he started preaching to the millions that were there. Why were they there? They were there for the feast of what? Pentecost. They were there on the fourth feast, so they were all in Jerusalem. And they all thought that they were drunk up there because they heard him speaking in tongues at 9 in the morning. So he had to come down. He goes, it was you that crucified the Lord. It was you that put him on the cross. It was you, hallelujah, that you hear now the promise that he said he would do. He would pour out his spirit. So these Jews, man, were going, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then they said, what must we do? You see, when you come to God, you say, oh God, I've done everything in life. And now, God, what must I do? What must I do, God? How can I get favor from you? How can I be born from above like the one that just brought me? There had to have been a conviction. And so look at Acts 3:36 right up here. Look at that. Therefore, this is Peter still preaching to them. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified. He had to bring a conviction upon them, both Lord and Christ. Now look at verse 37. We rarely read this verse, but it's right above 38. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, meaning a conviction came upon them because they realized it was us who crucified him. Right. Did you know that your sins is what crucified Christ?
My God, my.
Did you know it was your drug use, your four marriages,
my God,
was the one that crucified Christ? That's why he came to die for that.
Yes.
He came to die for us. He came to do something we can't do. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot be restored by ourselves.
Thank you, Jesus.
And many of us love to what? I go back to Brother G. We love to fake the funk. You catch what I mean? I used to tell people, yeah, I quit. I'm not on crystal meth no more. I was lying through my teeth. I was enrolled in my third rehab. Had everyone fooled. Still selling it. Still doing it. I couldn't stop. A conviction had to come. And here we go. Look at this. Then Peter said to them, repent. In other words, make it about face. You're going this way. You're following the culture of the world. And every generation, a culture changes. It's the fad, the new fad. So whatever the fad is, the culture changes to that fad. And we follow that. But God is saying, turn from that and turn to the living God. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That means forgiveness, and you shall receive. Didn't say you might. Didn't say maybe. Didn't say, you know what, wait for my text. I'll email you. No, it says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children. And to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. I have banked that scripture personally, and God has brought it to pass. Because my kids are saved. Even my grandkids are following Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus. That's only God. But when you have a heart that will walk righteously before Him, He will bless you like no other. He will bless you like no other. And so, we need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus is what cleanses us. It's not our conscience. It's not a Brillo pad, an SOS pad. You can scrub all day long. You can scrub until the skin starts coming off. That's not going to remove your sin. The blood will, though. The blood of Jesus. I got scripture to back that up. Look at Romans 5:8. Look at this. But God demonstrates His own love toward us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by what? His blood. We shall be saved from the wrath of Him. Jesus saved us to spare us from the wrath of God. Did you know before He comes, He's going to take us out of here, and then the wrath is going to be poured out on this world. The 7-year tribulation. I believe it's around the corner. I really do. I think the signs are here. The signs are here. And let me tell you, you don't want to be here. You don't want to be here when all the Christians are taken out of here by God. This place is going to go mad. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get real ugly. Because God's even going to pour out His wrath. And the ones that are going to go into the millennial reign that survive in the 7 years are the ones that were willing to give up their heads. There are going to be people here that will eventually give their life to Christ. But here's the thing I ask. Why not give your heart to Christ now? While it's still grace. That's right. While you could just fall on your face and say, God, forgive me. Or why do you have to wait till the ground opens up and people are falling in it? 3,000 people perished last week. Did you know that? No one reads about that. 3,000 people died in one day in Burma. An earthquake hit that place. And all these buildings just collapsed. And 3,000 people died. They didn't wake up that morning thinking they were going to die. One day. Gone. Under rubble now. Wow. Look at this. By His blood we shall be saved from His wrath through Him. Look at this. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall what? Be saved by His life. Woo, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look at Revelation 7 says. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? That's going to be us when He takes us home. Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and wash their what? Their robes made what? White. And white. Thank you, God.
Right on that first box. There you go.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
God.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I changed out all these batteries and I forgot to change mine. Jesus, help us. Thank you, God. Look at this. And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, washed in their robes and made them what? White in the blood of the Lamb. It's going to be the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Now, we're going to look at this right up here. The Father gives all his elect to Jesus. What? Before Jesus drew you, the Father gave us to him. Oh, come on. I got some scripture to back that up. Are you sure about that, Pastor Fee? Yes, I'm sure. Let's go. Let's go to John 6:35. Look at this. John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, but he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not what?
Believe.
Look at this. Here's the verse I'm talking about. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Did you catch that? All that the Father gives me will come to me. So in other words, we've been given to Christ by the Father.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And all the ones who come to me, I will by no means cast out. Praise God. So if you got to get this in your spirit. If God the Father gave us to the Son, he will never cast us out because he cannot lie. He's not a man that would lie. Can I get an amen? For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who what? Sent me. Look at this next verse. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all that he has given me, I should lose nothing. What? There you go, Arminian doctrines. The Arminians. You know the Arminians, right? A lot of them are Pentecostal. Some of them are apostolic. Some of them are charismatic. They believe that if you sneeze a sin out, you're going to hell. Man, if my works is what gets me in, I'm a lost cause. If I had to work, no. The work was done on the cross. He says, come to me. Come to me by faith. And then when I fill you with my spirit, now you'll learn. Hallelujah. And you'll learn how to touch that wall one day. Huh, brother? Some will get there a little later, but they'll get there. Because he's working in every one of us. Not everyone has arrived there where he wants you. It takes time. It takes patience. And be careful on how you entreat one another. Oh, come on, man. Man. It's like skinning a fish. You're trying to get the scales out and you try to cut it too deep. You're going to let it bleed. Help us, God. Look at this. He says, look, if you has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up that last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have what? Everlasting life. And I will raise him up on that last day. You can take it to the bank. Hallelujah. That God's going to raise us up on that last day. Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, you have to believe God. Believe the promises of God. Look what Paul wrote in Corinthians here. For you see your calling, brethren. We've all been called. That not many wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty. Not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So look at your life before you came to Christ. We was nothing. We were about nothing. And when we got saved, even our family members, oh man, oh yeah, how long is that going to last? They're still saying that to me. I've been walking 37 years, praise God. Keep on thinking that. Because I'm not keeping myself, He's keeping me.
Amen.
Can I get an amen? He's keeping me. Jesus. Oh, help us, God. Thank you, God. Look at this. And he says, he'll put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Look at this. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. You know that one time you was despised. People hated your guts. What do you mean, man? This guy's a drug. He's a drug. He's a fornicator. Man, he's an adulterer. Oh, man, he's done this. He's done jail time. What do you mean? Huh? And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring nothing to the things that are. Meaning at one time we was nothing, and now we're somebody in Christ. Hallelujah. God has birthed us into the kingdom of God, and now he's allowed us to serve him.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, hallelujah. That no flesh should glory in his presence. There's nothing to boast about other than thank you, God. Oh, bless you, Lord. Oh, we magnify you, God. There's nothing to boast about. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Nothing to boast about. Jesus. Look what Exodus 19:5 said. Oh, wait. Here we go. Yes. Now look at this. We're translated from what? Darkness into what? His marvelous light. Ooh, man. How many can truly believe that we lived a dark life at one time? How many believe that your world one time was darkness? Every ungodly thing we did, people that we dealt with, it was a dark world. And then he translated us. He transformed us. He removed the darkness and we came into his marvelous light. Thank you, God. And that's why Jesus said it best right up here in Matthew. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in, what? The house. Here's what else God says about us. Thank you, God. How many believe that you are royal now?
Amen.
Hmm? You know, you go around the world and you see ambassadors from India, from all these other countries, and they all have their place in the world. But a lot of them don't have their place in the kingdom of God. And God calls you a royal priest. What? What do you mean? Oh, yeah. Did you know that there's royalty flowing in your veins? Because Jesus is royal. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And if Jesus is royal and his blood cleansed us, guess what's flowing in your veins? You see, when God chose you, you became a royal priesthood. Where does that say it, Pastor? I need proof. Okay, well, look on the board right up here. But you are, look at this. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen, say that with me, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are special to God. His own special people. Can I get an amen? That you may proclaim. Now, this is what we can do now. We can proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Thank you, Lord.
You see, we were treasures that he pulled out of darkness Can I get it? Isaiah says, treasures out of darkness. My goodness, my goodness. Look at this. Who once were not a people, because we weren't, but now are the people of God.
Amen.
Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. Praise God. We are children of mercy now. Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And then he goes on to say in verse 11, look, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. And then he tells us to do this now. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You see, we still battle in this body of flesh, right? But now we have an entity in us that we can war with. And that is the Holy Spirit. He wants to go to war with you. All you had to do is call upon the name of the Lord. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at this. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may but by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So in other words, let them curse you. You bless them.
Right.
Let them speak bad about you. Bless them. Because
right.
When Jesus comes, they're going to remember, oh man, why did I curse out my brother, my sister, my friend? God will deal with them. Don't. Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Don't take it in your own hands. Let God be God.
Amen.
And so, saints, believers are God's very own possession. You know that we are his possession? We're his. That's right. We're his possession. Look at this in Malachi 3:17. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day, I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. He looks at us like jewels. Look at Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be a special what? Treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So if God owns the whole entire earth, why are we worried? I go back to that episode 8. When David goes down and hears Goliath taunting the whole entire nation of Israel. Basically, in a nutshell, he goes, you guys are all cheesing up. You don't want none of this. You can't touch this. So he comes down and says, who is this Philistine who's defiling the name of the Lord? When's the last time you went to bat for your unsaved friends and family and went against the enemy and says, who are you defiling my son? Who are you defiling my brother? Who are you defiling my relationship, my family? Who are you? Who are you? This is where we got to rise up in faith and come against the enemy. And bind the strong man. God wants to see us raise up like that and stand for the things of God. Why? Because he wants to bless you. He wants to pour out his presence, his glory upon you. Because God wants all the glory. And he don't want to share it with nobody else. God's people are those who are faithful to him. Thus, this refers to all of us that are born again. Did you know when we became born again, we fell in love with him. We love him now. We worship him. We praise him. And we're in his hand. And he's just molding us. He's shaping us. We're on the potter's wheel. We allow him to what? Carve off things that are not good in our life. We allow him now. Can I get an amen? Because it's for our own good. God's special people are to show others the goodness of God. For he called us all out of darkness into his marvelous light. Christians were redeemed with a special purpose, saints of God, to glorify and to praise Him. He gave us this to praise Him, to worship Him. Did you know? You ever were on the street in your car, and maybe there's another one that pulls up, your windows are down, and you're worshiping God? I turn my music up even louder. I want them to hear who I'm worshiping. Can I get an amen? I want them to hear Jesus. Thank you, God. God will give you those divine appointments every day if you ask Him for it. Just ask God, God, give me a divine appointment. God, help me lead someone to You, God. God, use these gifts that You have given me so I could bless someone. Look at this up here. All God's chosen people allow God to sanctify them for His glory. As I was sharing with you, He's allowing us a privilege that the world doesn't have. And that privilege is not so much that He has given us eternal life, that we're allowing Him now to mold us and shape us. What a privilege that is. Because He lets the unbelievers run buck wild. They do their own thing. Why? Because they don't have ears to hear. They don't have eyes to see. And they do their thing all day long. But not us. We've been privileged now to be shapen by the King. Hallelujah. We're His subjects now. How many are so blessed to know that? I'd rather be a slave to Him than to be a slave to Satan. Because He was no good to us. Matter of fact, He used you up, pulled the car over, opened the door, and He kicked you on the curb. Man, man, man. But look at this. This is where we have hope. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9, look at this. I want you to catch this, because God is going to show us what He delivered us from. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. This is where we cannot be deceived, okay? Because we have friends and family members. We got acquaintances that are lost. And we pray, God, save them. God, save them. But if, and that's a big if, they die in their sin, they're in this category right here. Look at this. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. None of them will. This is why we pray. This is why we intercede. This is why we try to show the people the love of God, that there's hope. But we have to also speak truth. If you don't turn, this is what happens. Look at this. But, and such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. This is what we can now embrace and believe, that we are His now. Hallelujah. And He has justified us. You know what justification means? He looks at you like just as if you never sinned. Sanctification means He has set you apart for His purpose. Glorification. Guess what glorified means? When you hear the word glorified, He sees the future tense. He sees in the future your brand new body. Remember we just read the white robes? Where do they come from? That's us. He's got a beautiful robe for you. And you're going to be radiant, filled with His glory. You know, I had some questions I was asking the Lord when I was putting this study together. And He goes, write them down, just write them down, write them down. And I'm going to give them to you in a later day. But I was asking Him, you know, in our new bodies, are we going to eat? Are we going to go to the bathroom? Are we going to have sex again like humans do? I was asking both these questions. And I said, write them down. And I came up with some answers, but that's for another message.
You got to come back.
I'm going to come back to it. I will come back to it. Hallelujah. But we're yeah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Look at Hebrews 13:12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people in his own blood. That means set you apart. Because he was suffered outside of the gate. You see, he wasn't crucified on the Temple Mount. Did you know at 9 o'clock in the morning, at the same time they were nailing him to the cross, right across the Kidron Valley on the Temple Mount, they were getting ready the Lamb of God that they were going to slay at 9 o'clock at the same time. How ironic was that? And they were singing the songs of Moses of deliverance. That God was going to deliver his people. That's right, he was. Through the sacrificial Lamb of God. Not through the temporary lamb that was in the Temple Mount. So he was what? He suffered outside the gate. He had to step out in our realm to save us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Woo! Man, when you get an understanding of that, man, you'll look at him and go, man, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, because you had us in mind. You had me in mind. Look at this. God's chosen people are bold and not ashamed of him. If you're ashamed of him, you have to, man, got to ask yourself, man, why am I ashamed of you, God? You should never be ashamed of him. And matter of fact, when you get filled with the Spirit of God, you can't wait to open your mouth to tell someone about Jesus. You can't wait till a crevice or a crack opens so that you could just walk in it and start sharing. It comes automatic. Look at Acts 4:29 up here. Look at this. Now look. Look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. They didn't care. They didn't care about their lives. They spoke bold about the things of God. Look at this. With all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. That place was shaken. How many times have you gone and prayed in a room and God lights up that room? He shakes up that place. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It comes automatic when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. Because Paul understood that. Paul wrote this in Romans. Look at this. For I am not ashamed. Say that with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and then to the Gentiles, Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by what? By faith. And then we find that he wrote this in the book in Ephesus, in Ephesians. He says in verse 18 of chapter 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Notice capital S, that means Holy Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I don't care where you're at. I don't care where you go. Whether it's on the job, in the midst of family, speak bold on the things of Christ. Let them know that God wants to do something mighty in your life. Let them know that God loves them. That God hasn't forsaken you. That you could come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith like I did. Start imputing faith in them. Give them ears to hear, eyes to see. Pray that God will open up their faith and their eyes and ears of understanding. That God will chisel away whatever's blocking them to hear and receive the word. And by faith they will come. And so, we're coming in for a close. Written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life is not a record of good deeds. I hope you know that. Or earthly achievements. But rather a record of God's sovereign choice and grace. Grace. We're saved by grace through faith. Not by works that we have done. But we were saved by His mercy. Can I get an amen? Amen. Paul wrote to the Philippian church regarding this. Look at this. In Philippians 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and implore Syntyche to be the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, these women who were laboring with me in the gospel with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. I opened with that scripture, and I'm closing now with this scripture. Why? Because there's something about our salvation that God writes our names in the book of life. And let me just say this. Those who are not found in the book of life will not receive the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Look at Revelation 21 here. Look at Revelation 21, verse 22. This is Paul, this is John the Apostle. He's writing this in the island of Patmos. And Patmos is a small little island off the coast of Greece. He says, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of sun or the moon to shine in it, and the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Look at this in verse 25. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. Praise God. No night. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter in it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the book of life. Did you catch that? Only those who are written in the book of life are going to enter into this place when it's all said and done. My question is this. Are you written in the book of life? And from what I see, I believe many of us here are. Can I get amen? Amen. Because the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. You guys love the Word of God. You guys come out every week to hear the Word of God. You love being in His presence. You love to worship Him. That lets you know, that's evidence in your own life that you are written in the book of life, because unbelievers don't want nothing to do with this. You try to get them to church, man, it's like pulling teeth. You can't even entice them to come. I'll buy you lunch after. Nah, it's okay. And then after service, they'll call you. Hey, did you talk about lunch? Oh, that's never happened. Okay. Saints, this next passage of scripture I'm going to put up here describes how we should understand the apparent dropouts. Because a lot of your Arminians believe that God will just blot you out. But let's look at this for a moment. 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Are you catching this? For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You see, some people, they'll come, you know, they'll come and work, you know, and all of a sudden they have no desire no more. They were really never born of God. And that's what John is saying here. They weren't really of God. They looked like it. And some people can camouflage and look like, oh yeah, I'm praising the Lord with you, and still go home and live like the devil. Wow. In other words, saints of God, the failure to persevere is not a sign that you can be truly born again and justified and then be lost. God don't play like that with us. If you're truly His, He will keep you until that last day. We just read those scriptures. Can I get an amen? Amen. And I'm going to close with Revelation here. Yes. I'm going to close with these scriptures here. Because I want you to find your place now at the very end where you are going to end up at after we read this. Ask yourself, where am I going to be? Where am I going to be, God? Revelations, here we go, 22:12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Look at verse 15. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. What?
That's
right. They're in there. So there's dogs, sorcerers, sexually immoral, and murderers, idolaters, and people that lied that are in the church.
That's right.
So I got to ask you, so where are you? Look at this. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to these things in the churches. Not in your house. The churches, the gathering.
My God.
I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Look at this. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy, of this book. Now look at this. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book.
My God.
Look at verse 19. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life. From the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things say, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come on. Let me just say this. The reason why we don't find ourselves in that category is because we've been washed in the blood. Hallelujah. God has saved us. But there are going to be folks who are wannabe Christians. Some of them have name tags. I remember my brother Dell's here. Is he still here? I remember on a Friday night, we had this is about maybe 15 years ago. We had a Friday night men's ministry here. And the men were coming up here every Friday. It was their turn to bring a word. And they preached a word here behind the pulpit. I remember my brother Dell brought a message called name tag Christians. Elder so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Don't even know who Jesus is. But I'm part of the church. Never been born again. Never knew who God was. And when a real trial comes, they run. They flee. When hardship comes, they don't know how to get a hold of God. And anything else offends them. That's right. So I'm going to pray for us right now that God will do something mighty in our life, something great in our life. I truly believe that God had a word for us today.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. That God wants us to take this word and to let it be birthed in your spirit so that you can share wherever you go the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. There's Dell now. You remember the message you spoke? A name tag Christian. There's a lot of name tags around.
Congregation, got to feed your message today. Will you have you on my prayer, my Sunday prayer, and what they put on social media today?
Amen. 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 See, when... when God is in it, God will speak to his people by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because these are his scriptures. I'm just the mailman delivering the mail. So if you want to throw tomatoes, let me know. I'll just duck a little bit. Praise God. But maybe, those of you that are on Facebook and YouTube right now, maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to Christ. Maybe you were going through surfing the internet and you came across amazing, or you were looking for grace, and then we popped up, and now you're listening, and now God has gotten your attention, and now God has drawn you to himself. If that is you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can be birthed into the kingdom of God, and that you too will have your name written in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to bow your heart and your head and pray this simple prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Let's pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Come on, is he worthy? Woo, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.